You're listening to Win-Win, an entrepreneurial community with your host, Ben Wolf.
And welcome to Win-Win Podcast, the official podcast of WolfsEdgeIntegrators.com, Wolf's Edge Integrators. We're going to be talking with our guest today about the topic of interrogate your business. So before we get into talking about that with him, I want to get into introducing our guest today. He is the founder and president of Business Interrogation, which teaches business owners to ask the hard questions so they can take immediate action and optimize their business. He comes from 30 years of military intelligence experience, including as an interrogator and an interrogation instructor. He's got 20 years experience in the business world, is the author of Customer-Driven Leadership, How to Win Entrepreneurial Servant Leader, How to Win with Entrepreneurial Servant Leadership, Responsiveness to Client Data, and Constant Creativity. Links to that in the description and in the social media. You can find out more about him at businessinterrogation.com. Again, links are going to be in the social media and in the episode description. And with that, I give you Daniel Hammond. Welcome, Daniel.
Ben, so glad to be here.
Well, I'm happy to have you. I'm very grateful for you making the time for this conversation. And I think what will be really helpful for people is if you start off giving us a quick 2-minute background to give us some context, to understand sort of where you came from and how you got into this topic, interested in the topic we're talking about today.
Yeah. Thank you so much. Appreciate that. One of the things that's interesting is I've been all over the place. And so sometimes I'll mention that I've worked with cabinet level officials in 4 countries in 5 completely different job roles. And, in the military, I interrogated cabinet level officials, generals, Congress people, war criminals, head of a national bank, WMD scientists. So besides teaching, I've actually done the work. I've been there. After our family survived a home invasion, that led to me leading a top tier physical security company. I built a relationship with the owner of that company. He got to a place where he was losing money. He didn't know where, and kind of invited me in to see if I could solve some of his business challenges. He had over 400 employees. It was a complicated structure. I said, I think I'm going to need to be in charge to do that. He handed me the keys and helped just find hidden debt, solve some problems, increase new revenue streams, improve onboarding so that they weren't losing so much money. From there, I went to a top 10 global bank doing cybersecurity. And from there, I ended up moving from, I started off in intelligence, cyber intelligence, and then moved to cyber exercises. So I was simulating disasters for senior executives. I did that all the way up to the industry level where I designed and led a cybersecurity exercise for the financial services industry in front of the Secretary of the Treasury. And then finally, I went with John Maxwell to the Dominican Republic and helped his value do a train the trainer with values-based leadership with one of the ministers of that country. And I was the interpreter for some coaches as well. So just...
Wow. What language or languages do you speak?
English and Spanish, more or less.
Wow. And it was interesting when you mentioned all those different categories of people that you've interrogated, from cabinet level officials and generals to war criminals and the like. I was wondering if some of those categories were somewhat redundant, but we're not going to get into that.
But definitely some crossover.
But it's interesting. It seems like we didn't even get into how this happened, leaning into the concept of interrogation as it applies to helping business owners. And I guess the first question is, like, what led to that bridge? Like, how did you realize that was a transferable skill, let's say?
Yeah. So I started doing a lot of different things, Ben. And when complexity is not easy to buy, right? So one of the things that I realized was I needed to hone down what I did to how I serve people. And that is, I ask questions that change their futures. And so typically, you know, I was going in and helping people look at their biggest business challenge in new ways that I kind of, my questions deconstruct the complexity of where they're stuck. But more so to that, it's not just about providing a solution. It's about providing a solution that gets them moving in the direction they want to go. So interrogation sort of has four major components. One is the commander's intent, right? What is that leader lack that they need to make the right decisions? And then, you know, that, and then downstream for that is, you know, what is it that they want at the other side of that challenge or where they're stuck, right? Because again, you don't want to just the problem to go away. You want to destroy the problem in a way that it's moving you in the direction you want to go. Typically there's something obstructing it, right? It's a lack of knowledge. Maybe it's a lack of awareness. And that's where the questioning gets through. And that's the fourth part is, how do you ask the questions in an effective way that pulls out the things that are important as quickly as possible?
Mm-hmm. I missed the third one. So the first point was understanding the obstacles. The second one is understanding the end goal, that once we remove that obstacle that we're supposed to be going towards. What was number three?
Yeah, the third is there's some sort of obstruction, right? And so that could be in an interrogation, that's somebody who doesn't believe in your values and doesn't want to help your country, right? Mm-hmm. In a military sense. But in a business, it's there's something going on in the company that is resisting the direction that the leader wants the company to flow in, right? And so that's the piece where you have to figure out the puzzle. That's the Rubik's Cube. It's the rapport you need to build with the war criminal, or it's what's the linchpin of the problem that makes the problem fall into its component issues that can be dealt with more easily.
Mm-hmm. Now, well, it's interesting. Like I think of sometimes where it's come up where I've had to ask questions, you know, and like I think of one prospect actually earlier this week, I think, where, you know, it sort of came up. There was these like major challenges that he was having in one department and realizing that a certain department head wasn't working. And we're talking about, hey, should we come in as fractional integrator or fractional COO, come in and kind of like, as you said, get the keys, kind of take charge of the business and sort of be the number two, help lead the business to, you know, where we need it, where the owner wants it to go based on our experience having done that before. And I just asked the question because I didn't know else how to get the answer is, well, look, if you know, it sounds like maybe you're want to bring us in to do the hard thing that you already know you need to do of getting, you know, changing out this person. Like if you would just go ahead, bite the bullet and change out this person, look for a new one, replace. And then you had someone that actually worked well in that role. Would you still need us? And, you know, and like for this conversation, and he said, no, like, you know, he just came to realize that like, it was his own unwillingness to make hard decisions. That was sort of the bigger challenge. You didn't necessarily need someone to come in just to make one decision. You know, like, you know, we need us for more than that, hopefully. I mean, sometimes if you can't do it on your own, maybe it's worth it. But you know, just sort of like asking that question to find out, you know, is there really something for us to do here?
I 100% agree with you. I think one of the other things that I see a lot in the business world is they're looking for a solution where there is no problem. You know, they're trying to patch a symptom rather than actually looking to see what's causing the symptom, right? That's where the problem is. So, you know, putting a patch over here when the problem is over here and it just is, you know, downstream showing its impact down. So root cause analysis is another thing that I do really, really fast, especially just, you know, working in cybersecurity at a top 10 global bank. I mean, their infrastructure is at a level of complexity nobody understands. One time I had to answer five questions for an exercise, and I had to talk to 75 experts just to get those five questions. Yeah, it was ridiculous. And then, you know, 6 months later, I met somebody who knew all of those answers off the top of their head, right?
Oh, man.
And ironically, they were a contractor. They didn't even work for the company.
Oh my gosh. Well, I know you spoke about these four elements of interrogation, but what, you know, I guess what, you know, what's one or two key principles that you, you know, you find from interrogation and how that plugs in to, you know, to being useful to a business owner, whether through you or for them, or for them listening to this podcast or watching this podcast and asking themselves these questions, but like, or asking each other these questions, but like, what are the core principles of interrogation, I guess, at least as it applies to business, and, you know, and what's a way that we can apply that to business?
Yeah. Love the question, Ben. I think the first most important thing for me and in interrogation, and I think in running business, is build rapport, right? You, when you show other people you care about what they care about, it changes everything. And, you know, I, when working on my unique ability statement, for example, you know, I'm a complex guy. It's a complex statement, but one of my friends who's a coach read it and they said, you know, it's fantastic. It summarizes you very well, but you build trust faster than anybody else I've ever met. And, mm-hmm. and it really resonated with me. And I added it to my statement. You know, that's what gets people to cooperate. If mm-hmm. you have true rapport with your team, right? They will, and they trust you, they will come to you with their concerns, which will save you a lot of pain. And just being neutral isn't good enough. You because if I'm neutral and I think, wow, it feels like my boss is making a huge mistake here based on what I know about the company. If I don't have your total trust, I'm not going to go, have you thought about this? You're just going to go, well, he's the boss. He probably knows right. what he's doing, and right. you know, he'll watch you drive off the cliff. Right. But if they care about you, they're going to be, hey boss, I see a huge cliff ahead of you in the direction you're headed. You know, have you thought that through? And then all of a sudden your awareness is expanded and at least you can build a bridge ahead of driving off that cliff. Right. I think the next I'd say is a balance of curiosity and knowing what questions lead to the most useful information. So, you know, staying curious in things. Whenever I have a role anywhere, I want to know what do all the roles around me do and how can I better serve them? And that's really a core concept of customer-driven leadership as well. It's sort of a bottom-up. Measure everything, measure how each function serves each other function according to the priorities of those you serve. So ironically, team leaders get evaluated by the teams they serve, not the other way around in customer uh-huh. leadership, right? They're held accountable. Are they giving the team what the team needs to succeed, for example? And then I think knowing what's most important and keeping that a priority. And while you're chasing what's important, you're going to hear about other things that are important. And some of those might be more important, which means you need to let go of the thing you're chasing to solve the most important things first without losing track of all those other threads. Because as you solve one problem, you go back to the next thread and follow it to its conclusion as well. And then really the key there is also the final thing I'd say is just seeing how to solve the problem in a way that delivers maximum value to what's important to the people that you're serving, right? So it's not just I don't call myself a consultant because I don't sell out of the box, you know, widgets that solve problem X. It's really about, well, what is the solution that most takes you in the direction you want to go with the maximum possible momentum?
Right. You spoke about a few principles there, but just thinking about the first two, which is trust that you have to have before, you know, interrogating, asking questions. And secondly is that trust. And then,
it's the balance of curiosity.
Oh, curiosity, right. That was the second one, right. Is the curiosity element. And, But I guess the interesting observation I would make on the trust piece is that when it came to trust, you said that trust is based on how much the other person perceives that you care about them and their outcomes and what they're looking to accomplish. And so I thought that's, you know, very interesting. Like that's the particular point about trust that is important for, you know, for this process of asking questions or interrogating, you know, your own business or, you know, someone that you want to help, to help them. Just found that very interesting on the trust piece. It actually, you know, coming from caring reminds me, there's this, I don't know if people in the business world are have made this connection, but there's a story in Genesis with Jacob who approaches a bunch of, you know, one of the forefathers, or approaches a bunch of shepherds around a well and says, brothers, you know, hey, Jacob, I'm sorry, I'm mixing this up. But anyway, he says, brothers, how you doing? And then after they ask to have the conversation, he says, you know, by the way, like, you know, it's kind of early. Like, you guys are just wasting time standing around. Why don't you uncover the rock off the well and like start watering the sheep for your employer? Like, it's kind of like not fair to your employer. And they're like, oh no, like, you know, it's really heavy. We got to wait till all of us get here. They, you know, whole explanation. They were not like, what the heck? Who are you? You're this rando that comes out of nowhere and just starts like telling us we're being unethical, like employees. You know, but they didn't say that. They just, you know, they just kind of engage with it. You know, I gave them the explanation. It's like, oh, I understand. All right, I'll help you with the rock. Right. But like, you know, why didn't they react negatively? Right? Because he started off the conversation, hey, my brothers. Like, that's how he started the conversation. Right. Not like, you know, not an interrogator, but, you know, just a caring, you know, a brand new friend, whatever. Like, sort of, it was like an interesting example of that principle you shared.
Yeah. And I think that's really important. You've got to meet people where they are. And, you know, it, what's the difference of, you know, going, hey, Bob, what's up with you today as you come into the office, or coming in and going, hey, Bob, how did Michael, your son, do about, did he get into the college that he was looking to get in? You know, what's going on there? You know, is there anything I can do to help? Right. I mean,
yeah, that specificity, remembering somebody, right. No, yeah. That's so true.
You know, as an interrogator, right? And I worked in a camp for 6 months. And one day I walked in, maybe 3 months in, I walked in with my boss, and a prisoner stopped, grabbed his buddy, and like they started waving at me. And it blew my boss's mind.
Waving at the interrogator.
Like, yeah, I was voted most popular interrogator in the camp, maybe. But my boss was freaked out. He's like, what the heck? Why are prisoners, you know, cheering on the interrogator walking into the camp? And I said, well, when I encounter someone with a problem, I do the work. I take that to leadership and the problems get solved. And then they tell their friends. And it turned out I didn't know the two people that were waving at me.
Oh, really?
But they knew me because I positively influenced their lives in some way. I mean,
What happened there? I mean, I want to ask you questions back in the business world in a second, but like, what happened there that they, and that's even more interesting that you hadn't actually met them before, that these people that waved at you, like what happened in that, in whatever other interrogation that led to that outcome?
I always looked after the people that I was talking to, whether they were just you know, somebody who was a banker, for example, or somebody who was a war criminal who, you know, potentially killed hundreds of thousands of people. It always came down to, you know, at the end of our conversation, it's what's going on around you and what can I help with, right?
And you would ask, meaning about the conditions in the camp or the prison, you would ask about?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Sometimes they wanted to get a message to their family. Sometimes that it was about, the plumbing's backed up in the bathroom and it's flooding. I would go write the report, or I would go and put in the request. And, you know, and sometimes they would ask for things that were, you know, beyond my ability. And I would tell them, I said, I will ask for you, but I really don't think that that's going to happen. But sometimes it did. Mm-hmm. And then they just respected me even more. And so I had incredibly good rapport because I really cared about the people that I was talking to, no matter what they were accused of, whatever their history was,
right?
You know, and that, you know, the TV interrogations are so coercive. It's not about that. It's about finding what matters to you and how can I help? And I'm not saying every interrogator does that, Ben, but that was my
experience. Just interesting. I actually had a similar thought. I have a friend who has a sub, who's a therapist. He has a subspecialty. He actually has a PhD now, whatever. He has a subspecialty as a therapist with pedophiles. Like a sub, I mean, somebody has to do it, right? Yeah.
And we definitely want to solve that problem.
Right. You don't want them to not have a therapist, I guess, right? You want them to help them get better to the extent possible, but, you know, while keeping everybody safe. But it's just, you know, obviously he's not going to go in thinking, you know, with this kind of like you're a bad person vibe all the time. So it's just, you know, I mean, I imagine he's got to have developed some of these similar skills to what you've talked about. How do you see this? Like, you know, what I shouldn't say that. What's a specific story or example, I guess, or one or two, where you've, you know, applied some of these into business? Like, what was the situation? What were the details? What was going on before? Like, what happened?
Yeah. So there's a couple of ways that I've found that I'm really able to help people. One, I have like sort of a 20-minute flow calibration session where I interrogate their biggest business challenge. I just start off with, what is your biggest business challenge? And I just hammer it away with questions until they find a solution that helps get them unstuck and moving in the direction they want to go. I love listening to visionary entrepreneurs. And I know you're an EOS guy, and I'm a visionary integrator. So I've got that balance. And, you know, I think Gino said, pick the one you love the most and stick with that. And I, being the entrepreneur that I am, rejected that. And I'd rather go in and be the marriage counselor between the visionary and integrator, because I speak visionary and I speak integrator. Mm-hmm. And so helping them connect, right? Because often they're seeing past each other, right? Because one's very tangible and one's very ideas based, but there's a way, especially when I come in, since I can do both, now it's 2x on each side of the equation, which is giving you, you know, an exponential amount of, okay, this is what, and I can take the concerns of the integrator and the vision of the visionary and help them build a plan that get, you know, makes them both happy. And then
what's a story? Let's take that integrator, visionary or COO number two, and visionary or CEO founder, principal. Like, what, you know, maybe one of these 20-minute things. Like, what's a story with one of these 20-minute sessions? What was going on? Like, what came out in the 20 minutes?
Yeah. So, there've been a lot of them, and they go by fast. But effectively, what I'm doing is I'm talking to them about what do they want to accomplish on the other side of the problem, right? And so I use that technique also when I hear of, let's say, a visionary that's ready to 10x their company, right? What's beyond that 10x? Because you don't want to just jump up and hit a mark. You want to move through that mark with momentum, continue. You, nobody wants to stop at 10x, right, Ben? You want to keep moving through that. You know, would you rather get 100% of a 10x vision, or would you rather get 20% of a 100x vision? So continually getting them to think beyond that scope and do the things that are going to get them moving in the right direction. And so I had an entrepreneur that, they were at their capacity, and they had an amazing team that had, let's say, 4 or 5 times the capacity to handle work, but everything had to go through that entrepreneur first, the onboarding process. And so I basically just worked with her until I chipped away at, well, how do you want to solve that problem? Do you want to bring in other people that do the vetting? Do you want to optimize and sort of systematize that so it goes a little bit faster, a little bit smoother? And then by the end, by asking the questions of what solution is the right one for you, on the other side of that 20 minutes, they were like, they knew what they needed to do. Mm-hmm. And the next, you know, 5-6 steps forward that we're going to get them past their problem.
Right. That's awesome. Look, I love these principles, thinking how to apply them in terms of, You know, if you're asking somebody within your business questions, building that trust based on showing, based on them knowing that you care, and you know that being demonstrated, you know, asking questions, following things through till, you know, with curiosity, not with whatever, not with assuming you know the reasons for things. I actually had an instance even today. I was talking to a business owner where they texted me something about somebody else on the team that stating a conclusion that I believe to be untrue, like that you know that person feels a certain way, and I happen to feel that they felt a different way. But I caught myself before calling, as I called him, we had a conversation, but I caught myself before calling him and said, okay, you know what? Approach with curiosity first. Don't just say like, oh, I don't think, you know, I know you said in the text that this, but I don't think they think that because of that. Like, what made you, you know, what makes you say that? Like, you know, why is that? What did you expect? Or, oh, they did this. Oh, really? What happened? And whatever. And then share, like, whatever. Then get to the part where I share my point of view. But like, because that's my natural gut reaction, right? It's just to stay wide. You know, that's not right. And here's why. But, you know, but it's, you know, just that curiosity piece that you point to, that point of like following the threads.
Well, and you're
wherever they lead.
Your curiosity, you're asking the questions to better understand where they're coming from and why they think what they think, is serving them better than you challenging their thinking and winning, right? That doesn't help them. You've got to walk them through, and maybe there is something that you don't see, right? That's going to come up, and then you're going to be, oh, yeah, that would make them feel
better. And I can adapt my response based on what I actually learned by being so curious. And not.
Yeah. I could make a great interrogator out of you, Ben.
Interrogation Academy. I appreciate you making the time for this conversation. I definitely hope that and know that people who listen to or watch this, you know, in a thoughtful way, will be able to think of ways that they can apply that to ask themselves questions or ask other people in their organization questions to help get to the outcomes they want. Fractional executives or, you know, other coaches to, you know, to be better at their job. I know people can get a lot of value from this. So I appreciate you making the time today.
Yeah, it's an absolute pleasure, Ben. And thank you so much. I love what you're doing.
Thank you so much. I appreciate you and everybody else. I'll see you on the other side. Thank you.
You're listening to Win-Win, an entrepreneurial community with your host, Ben Wolf.